listening to College Football with Hank Jones and Avid Mike here on Global Patriot Radio. We can be found most days at blogtalkradio.com, starting with Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The Vito Esposito Show featuring Vito and Gal, Mamma Mia, No Sharia. Then Wednesdays, I am in Hank Jones Poly Sports, 6 p.m. Eastern. We talk politics and sports and those unfortunate times when they collide. Thursday, the beautiful Christy continues the Saturday night discussion, more about Islam. She goes anywhere between 6 and 9 Eastern time. Just follow the emails that you should get if you follow our shows. Saturday night, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing about Islam at 10 p.m. to midnight. And then Sundays, I'm back, me and Avid Mike, with our college football recap. I'm going to bring him in right now. Morning, sir. How you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Well, not bad. Thanks for going early this morning. We have some stuff we wanted to get done, and I figured, hey, you know. So let's quickly talk about other stuff before we get to the Hawkeyes. So Navy lost big to Notre Dame. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to see him be competitive, you know, at least.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, I think no matter what, you know, even if they were to win out and beat an undefeated Army, I think that playoff spot's gone for the service academies.
Without, failed?
Yeah, I think without – oh, geez, thanks. Yeah, I think Army's got to win out now. I think Army's got to win out to get a service academy in the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Pitt
sorry,
continues
that was a low
to impress.
Pro. I know.
But Pitt continues to impress. Big win over Syracuse. Boise State with a tough win over UNLV. Any other games that you can think of that were either more competitive or less competitive that you expected on a national scale?
Maybe, I mean, we'll talk Ohio, you know, Big Ten, but like the Ohio State-Nebraska game, I thought that was kind of a surprise. I just don't know which side is, you know, caused that to be competitive. But maybe the Texas A&M and LSU game, because
mm-hmm.
LSU was dominating that in the first half, and then they changed quarterbacks, A&M did, and then they exploded and just pulled away from them. So maybe that's the big one that kind of stuck out to me.
And that shocked me, too, only because I thought A&M, you know, losing to Notre Dame early, they hadn't really had any big wins since then, you know, in their wins. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've had a couple of decent ones, but nothing that was going to be like, you know, oh, man, A&M is a force. But obviously, and LSU had sort of come on after their loss to USC, and you kind of thought, well, you know, maybe they're really a good team, and, you know, but no, it's, I think – and I'm not saying those are bad teams or that the SEC is bad, obviously, but I think
no.
I think it's in a sense it's going to be more like NFL in that undefeated teams in college football will be more and more rare each season because as you start having player movement and all that. I just think that's going to
just the mega conferences. You know how big, you know. The Big Ten and the SEC have gotten, you've just added more competition because realistically both have had added more top heavy teams than bottom feeders. So it's, you know, you're going to have less and less chances of being undefeated because you're playing much more competitive schedule.
Yeah. But not only that, you're no longer playing, you know, I mean, you know, it's literally like the NFL draft combined with NFL free agency combined with, you know, except it's in a sense, it's the reverse. The top teams get to draft first and there's no limit on who you can, you know, go after, you know, it's, I know mm-hmm. it's going to, you know, over the years, that's going to have to change or you're going to see, I mean, the thing that'll make it change will be either a lot of teams dropping down to just say, you know, we're going to play more of a college game, you know, and they won't, you know, you won't see teams like, you know, Bama won't be able to bring College of Charleston or whatever they're called. They won't be able to bring them in for a November game. They'll just say, nah,
like Florida.
Yeah. You know, we won't be able to compete and we're not going to, you know, so, I mean, I think that mm-hmm. when they don't have people, when they won't have bottom feeders to pad their schedule, And when colleges, when schools in conference start, when it becomes, you know, as an example, if OSU continues to have $20 and $30 million rosters, and the rest of the Big Ten can't compete, you'll see the Big Ten start to say something, you know, among itself.
Right.
You know what? This is unsustainable. And
but that's all going to change too with the revenue sharing that they're with the house case that actually goes through. And you know, you look at the Big Ten, average team, you know, every team's going to average like $86 million in TV revenue. That's going to change big also. I mean, that's going to change the landscape. And then
but
think about the next contract.
But let's not forget what most academia is, you know, and the SEC is even more this way. You know, before you could say the SEC was always going to be somewhat politically conservative. But now you're starting to see SEC academia that is like, you know what, this is wrong that all these football players get all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know that works in the SEC for a while, but you know for a while in the Big Ten it hasn't worked. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. a Penn State case, you know, now they have another one of a player thing, but I mean the Sandusky case, then it happened at Alabama. Sandusky would be in jail, but Bear Bryant would, you know, they never would have buried Bear Bryant over that, you know.
Yeah.
But now the SEC is, its landscape is changing enough too, so that, you know. But anyway, I digress. So, I guess the big disappointment in this season at this point is that preseason top 10 Florida State is now 1-7,
and not competitive in any of the games for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, I hate to say this, but their snub killed them. It really did. And and poor Mike Norvell from going, you know, an undefeated season, including mm-hmm. winning without your quarterback in the ACC championship game
mm-hmm.
to, you know, I mean, if he is there at the end of this season, then credit to the administration and frankly the fan base of FSU if he's allowed to stay there after this season. I mean, Billy Napier's not even having anything close to that type of year in Florida, and they want
him. Yeah, they're calling for his head. Yeah.
Yeah, they all but have his head on a stake. I mean, it's, you know, so the Big Ten. Any surprise? You know, we'll go the one you mentioned. Talk about that one a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch it. I was out with the family, so probably like 2:00. So I caught like just basically that last corner, and just really surprised. I mean, did you get a chance to watch any of it?
I've only watched I've only gone online and watched highlights. You know what highlights are willing to show you?
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
just,
so I've seen some. I don't know.
21-17 really surprised me.
Yeah, in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether to say Nebraska is really good and competitive, or Ohio State is just not as good, or if they're lagging mentally.
I mean, it was if you want to just look statistically wise, it was an ugly game. I mean, yeah, both of them were over 200 yards, but it was like 273 for Nebraska and 285 total yards for Ohio State. I mean, what won the game for Ohio State was their passing game, 3 touchdowns. And,
yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Just really just that one just caught me off guard of being like, just they both played an ugly game, I think is what it was. You know,
yeah.
It really wasn't a ton of turnovers. One interception by both and fumbles, none lost. There was fumbles, but they weren't lost. Ohio State played to the level of the competition that they got? You know, I mean, other than us, they've had some blowouts, but, you know, we all felt so good about them. About Oregon played that game close and lost. You know, now this game, they played close and won. So, I mean, are they kind of –
Are they coming back
ahead? Who do they have next?
Yeah, I mean, Oregon certainly
didn't get caught looking ahead. So.
Yeah, Oregon certainly didn't get caught napping.
No,
Ohio State goes to Penn State next week. So, but Oregon didn't get caught napping. You know, USC took care of Rutgers quite easily, and we'll talk about that. You know, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it because being runner for the game, Nebraska, that Damian Dowdell, 60 yards. Do we have two teams with great rushing defenses? I don't know. Howard had three TD passes. Will Howard's a good quarterback. I mean, I said that before after we played him. I was expecting
he was 13 of 16.
Yeah, I mean
he's a great quarterback.
I just don't know if you're talking about two teams with great rushing defenses, if you're just talking mistakes. I mean, but yeah, the rusher, but Caleb Johnson, you know, could have had 100 yards against Ohio State. You know, and I guess maybe that's it. Neither Ohio State nor Nebraska has the true game breaker in the backfield, like a Caleb Johnson, because there are, you know, as we saw yesterday, there are less of him than we think. You know, I mean, you can sit there and say it's a product of the system, but you know, he's the one that gets it done for the Hawks. So, Indiana,
no,
Washington, now we beat up on Washington. And Indiana ran away with it at the end, but you know Washington kept that competitive. So that was Wisconsin Penn State. You know, Penn State goes into Wisconsin. You know, it was an evening. Yeah, it was a night game, right? I mean, it was a 7:30 game, so you can't. You know, that's a really good win for Penn State because Wisconsin appears to be putting it together. As I said, Illinois, Oregon care business as they should, but. You know, Illinois didn't go away. I mean, it was almost a 30-point win, but at the same time, Illinois didn't go away. You know, they didn't quit.
Right.
I hate Oregon. I mean, that's just my new team to hate. I don't like a 47-year-old Dylan Gabriel being treated like he's the greatest player ever, and he's like he's second in FBS pass TDs. Well. I mean, that's just kind of meaningless.
You know, if
right
you get
now.
Enough chances, you're going to probably break the record. You know, that's
but not only that,
Cheryl Swoops. If you play 5 years in college basketball, you know, like the whole Caitlin Clark thing, you're going to break records. You know,
yeah,
it's the same.
Caitlin
adage,
didn't
you know?
Play 5 years. That's the thing. Caitlin didn't play 5 years. But I mean, you know, Dylan Gabriel. It's his third team. It's you know, I just don't. I don't know. I'm not a fan. He's a good quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback. I mean, if you know, they're talking about he was the Heisman front runner at the beginning. I don't even know who you pick for other than Ashton Gianti, I guess, from Boise State.
Yeah, I mean, it's his to lose. I mean, he almost started stumbling this week at that game. I mean, he broke through in the fourth quarter to get over 100 yards. He only had like 24 carries for 86 yards at the end of the third quarter. So
yeah.
A little more of a struggle for him.
Yeah, but again, and maybe that's, you know, I don't know that you can ever give the Heisman to a guy from Andre Ware from Houston, you know, winning it for, and then Ty Detmer from BYU. I mean, you know, those were kind of outliers. I mean, to win it for BYU, you have to have a monster, you know, big year, you know, national stage, undefeated, that kind of thing. So, but beyond that, I just don't know that but yeah, it was a kind of a weird weekend in that, you know, Minnesota just destroyed Maryland. I mean,
yeah, but Maryland's in there.
I know, and Rutgers,
but they do every year.
Yeah, both Maryland and Rutgers are doing their second half implosion, no doubt.
Yep.
Michigan handles Michigan State at home, and you're starting to think, what the hell is wrong with us? Michigan's literally gone back to their – haven't they gone back to their original starting quarterback from the beginning of the season?
Mm-hmm. Mullen.
So they've been –
and
you know, here we're talking –
they played two quarterbacks. They actually went back to what they were doing early in the season. Mullen started. He was more of the passing guy. Orgy would come in to be kind of like that change-up type of quarterback. You didn't know if he was – you know, he ran the ball mostly, but they definitely went two quarterback system last night.
Yeah. And they play Donovan Edwards, their running back, through a touchdown pass. and then used that for a 2-point conversion. Oh no, what's his name, Davis Horn or whatever. But yeah, I mean it's, and again MSU, you know, almost 100 more total yards. You know, it's just kind of a, I don't know. Is Michigan State might be a little better than, you know, than we thought at the beginning. You know, going into last week.
I think they are. I mean, we saw that last week. You know, I mean, and I'm not trying to say we're better. You know, that we should have won that game. I mean, we all talked about those mistakes last week, but they surprised me. They look very athletic. They do have a lot of talent. I think they're much better than we think.
Usually do. I mean, you know, they're like, think of it like Florida. I mean, Michigan has a lot, you know, bigger, you know, population base than Iowa, you know. And so, you know, what Michigan doesn't get, you know, if Michigan State gets them, number one. But number two, you do have a sizable group that are in that state that are not Michigan fans, that are Michigan State fans, sort of like Florida State. There's enough to go around and, you know, so that kind of. Let's get to the Hawks. Let's save the elephant in the room as long as we possibly can. So let's talk special teams.
Yeah,
that was a fun day
for special teams.
One hiccup. You know, we gave up a punt return touchdown.
You return. Yeah,
but you know what? It was literally like the third team defense giving up a touchdown. I mean, that's what it was comparable to. I mean, it wasn't his best punt. It was, you know, two of our guys collided trying to make the tackle. It was that, you know, it's just, it was what it was. But other than that, I mean, Reese Dakin literally for that first half is what kept us in the game, you know?
Yep.
Weechen.
Well, what was up with that returner catching, you know, taking the fair catch at the five twice or the six?
Yeah, I don't know if it's, you know, but we've done that more as well. I think there is I'm getting the feeling that there is a bit of a shift in that don't let a coverage team get to the ball inside like the team.
Yeah.
Like, don't let the coverage team get to the ball. I don't know why that's, you know, I think.
It used to be you plant your heels on the 10, it goes over your head, it goes over your head. You know, that was forever.
But didn't Reese have one that sort of stuck inside? So I think that's, you know, maybe that's just maybe that's the way to play Iowa's punters. Maybe that's just the thing is that, you know, look, these guys from Iowa just wherever they want to, so to speak, and I don't know, but we had a fair catch, didn't we? Didn't have a fair catch like on the 15 or something? Earlier in the game.
That's fine. That's
My feeling is the 20 is where you, but I don't know. I you know, the game has changed enough that just don't know if that kind of the defense, other than, you know, first drive, really, Northwestern's first drive.
Yeah.
The defense pretty much held. The defense looked much better. And you can say, well, it's not Michigan State, it's Northwestern. But Northwestern's got a mobile quarterback, and that usually gives us trouble.
Yep.
We stayed on assignment.
And he did that first drive. Got out of the pocket a couple of times. Yep. Kept those drives going, that drive going. So, yeah.
Yep. I'm not sure what was with their field goal. It didn't look good. I don't know. I mean, but somebody said that wasn't their normal place kicker, that it was their punter. I don't know. I still don't know. Cause I didn't look back at all their games of who was doing the kicking, but, that was not a good kick from 50 yards, or 50, 51, whatever. But other than
and
that,
it was short. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
You know,
it wasn't.
It was wide right a little bit. It was short. Yeah, he's the punter. When I just looked him up, Luke Akers is the punter for them.
So, but the defense looked really good. We got the safety, and the usual joke is, you know, the way we've been playing was now we're only three safeties away from tying this thing up, you know, type deal. And
seven the hard way is what I kept going on there when there was 7-5. And they're like, oh, we've got them inside the five again. We're going to get the safety to tie it up.
You know, it's funny. We seemed to win every review yesterday. Don't know how that happened, but the Caleb Johnson fumble, which I don't think that was a fumble, but you know, we won the review. The touchdown from Caleb, where you know it looked like he might have gone out of bounds, but he was. They did say, you know, he was over. And then the safety, you know, he got out, but
Wedging on his return. They reviewed that one to see if he went out of bounds on those two on the sideline.
Yeah,
he stepped out of bounds.
Yeah, but they review every scoring play anyway, so that's kind of. You know, and they were what they were looking. See, they messed up. What they were looking for was an invalid fair catch signal. The Big Ten guy and wherever he is, that guy who was like, God, I don't see it. He forgot to look. So no, but yeah, that was we literally free review. So that was nice. I mean, that was kind of a good thing to have that, you know, that lucky thing, I guess. But no, but the overall the defense looked really good. The Jay Higgins interception was kind of cool.
That was fun. That was we were joking about that. It was almost like the Tyler Sash pinball shot. Remember?
Yeah,
back against Indiana, where batted up, but he. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking the ball pick six. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a great. You know, Nick Jackson. I don't know if he was batting it or if he was just getting his hand up. It sort of looked like he was trying to smack it down, but I don't think he intended to smack it into Jay Higgins.
No, it was just a narrow. You get in there, you get your hands up if you can't get to the quarterback, and it worked out.
Yeah, but the line looked good
Jay
yesterday.
Jay turned into a fullback.
They stayed in their places. They didn't – the defensive backs didn't – you know, a couple times coverage looked loose, but much better.
I just want to know, Deshaun Lee started. Why did he couldn't play last week?
I don't, you know, and the
explanation. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the explanation for it has sort of been, you know, almost like flippant.
Yeah, well,
one of those things.
Kirk, you know, he was available. We felt we could go with the others. You know, it was a better shot. And I'm like, but it's so much – I'm sorry. I don't know what he did to get in the doghouse, if it was. But he played so much better at that offside, you know, the opposite side of Jamari.
Yeah.
It's I don't understand why people say he struggled. I don't see it.
Well, it just makes you wonder if there was something else to it and that they weren't going to go into it. You know what? That's – like it or not, that's Kirk. It's gonna,
100%.
Beyond a murder charge – Kirk isn't going to go into it if he doesn't want to go into it. It's just that simple. You know, there are some things it just depends on which Kirk you get, because sometimes he might have said, well, he had a little, you know, what could have been, he had a little struggle in the classroom. But you know what? Nowadays, the more you keep your mouth shut, the better. You know, you're never going to, you know.
Yeah.
Deshaun Lee is never going to be able to say, they said I was available. Well, technically, Deshaun, you were available. You know, we weren't going to put out there that you were injured or that you missed a class or whatever. But, you know, if we had needed you, we would have used you. But you knew why you didn't get used. I mean, you know, it could be as simple as that. It could be, you know what, you say you're good, but we're just not comfortable. That ankle, you know, you're not running 100% on it. If we need you, we'll use you. But we're not about to, you know, endanger the rest of your season because of it. I mean, because that's not the kind of stuff you need to tell Chad Lystico and Tom Kakert and all those guys. I mean, I'm not knocking those guys, but that's, you know, it's simple. You're not going to know with Kirk. So,
that's one of the things he learned from Hayden. Hayden was the same way. You know, he was always, player got in trouble, he always told the police to call him, you know, first.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's that same adage of like, we're keeping it in house. We're not going to publicly embarrass unless it is something egregious that we have to. You know.
Yep. Okay. So in the offense, let's go two phases here. Let's go before. Let's go BP and PP. Before pull, post pull. So before getting
it wasn't a pull. Wait. Let's just clarify. So I watched the press conference last night. It was not a poll. They had already planned on doing it, and they went to it early because Cade was really shook up on that roughing the quarterback call, is what Kirk said.
Yeah. He's protecting Cade, I'm sure. But,
yeah.
Let's go BS and PS. But before Sullivan and post Sullivan, Cade had a couple good throws.
That throw to Anderson was a little overthrown, but I liked it because we went downfield.
And because it wasn't underthrown, let's look at the positive there. The one in the end zone, everybody kept saying, oh, he should have had it. If he doesn't throw that there, the defender is all over that ball. I mean, Cade made sure that the defender wasn't going to be able to get in front of the ball. I mean, and so I can't
– Yeah.
The interception, I just – that was Deaconess almost. I mean, it was like, how did you not see
the guy? I thought that was a tip pass. Yeah, I thought it was a tip pass, and it showed the replay, and that ball just came out horrible from his hand. That was a bad throw.
Yeah. Now the one last week where it was between Seth Anderson and Luke Lachey, I still don't think that everybody's the worst throw. I think that was one of those he had halfway through the throw he wished he would go in a different direction and he tried to pull it back. I think that's as simple as that. I'm not saying we need to keep Cade in there. That's not my point. My point is I think getting beat up a lot more than he needs to. I think there's a lot more to, it's just like last week's game. Everybody's talking about Cade and said, if we'd had Sullivan, we'd be 7-1 or
6-1, whatever, it is.
No, we wouldn't. Would Sully have made a difference? Maybe, but frankly, we weren't getting the
defense that really killed us last week.
Yeah. And we weren't busting it open for Caleb. Now, would it have made a difference if Sully was running a little bit? Maybe, but I don't know. I can't, because Michigan State's defense didn't really give much last week. Like I said, even on our scoring drives, besides Caleb's long touchdown, on our scoring drives, both our scoring drives beside that were struggles. It was like we were constantly, we were inching for the first down. It felt like we were fighting every play. I don't think now Iowa State, you could make the argument that had we gone to them earlier on those plays in the red zone, you can make that argument, but you can also make the argument if we don't go for two, if our defense doesn't give up long touchdowns, all that. So, I'm not going to hang that on Cade. Like if stubborn Kirk had just, we have some stupid fans, let's put it that way.
Well, we have top-tier quarterbacks never played the game. They think they're experts. So, yeah,
but after saying all that, I'm sorry, but I am of the opinion that I don't care if it's Nate Stanley, Ricky Stanzi, I don't care who it is in terms of pocket presence, being able to shrug off bad plays, being able to do whatever. I still want a guy back there that can extend plays with his legs now. I don't care if he throws as well as Dan Marino. I mean, even Chuck Long could extend plays, we do not need a Spencer Petras, Defcon Hill, et cetera. Now, I'll also go back and say, sometimes things happen and you lose guys and all that stuff. So that happens. It happened on our line. But my point is, I don't ever want to hear that this guy broke every guy's records and that runs he runs a 40 and, that they need a sundial to time this guy's 40. we're not looking for 4.5, but we're also not looking for 5.5. I'm sorry. It just makes a difference. It's when we have – I know Kirk's style. It was Hayden's style in a way, but although Hayden took more chances. But the bottom line is, you can still play a pro offense with a mobile quarterback. Mobile quarterback doesn't have to mean a guy who throws with a Vince Young throwing motion and does nothing but run all day. It doesn't have to mean that. Beathard was the best example of it. Brad Banks was a good example. Beathard was a better example. And frankly, Stansy may have been
he was
even
savvy
better
with the way he was in the pocket. You know,
yeah.
He's very savvy the way he did that.
Yeah.
But just looking through the Kirk era, the offense, when it's been good, we've had somebody that was mobile or savvy in the pocket. You know,
yeah.
Brad Banks. Then it went to Tate.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry,
yeah, Nate,
Chandler
Nate
to Tate.
Yeah, Nate Stanley.
Yeah.
You know, Nathan Chandler
was just a box. You didn't take him down that easy. So
yeah, Nate Chandler was faster than people gave him credit for anyway. But moved well. But Stansy wasn't the fastest. But how many times did Stansy take off and get down enough that you remember it?
Well, pocket awareness to be able to move two or three, or you know, move the pocket to be able to you know keep the play going. You know, extending it that way. It's just that little bit that. You know, the clock in the back of their head or the eyes in the back of their head that they're able to just move when they're supposed to, they need to, you know, not in every play like you would think a running quarterback would.
Yeah. And frankly, I don't care. I don't want Cade starting, but I won't care if they keep him engaged and bring him in at certain points or whatever. But I think from the get-go, your quarterback has to be, I want them to have it in the back of their mind. I mean, look what Aiden Childs did to our defense last week. He had them second-guessing themselves. And that's what we need a quarterback, or at any player, you know. We need it out of wide receiver. We need wide receivers, too. And I think we have some that are getting there, but we need wide receivers second-guess themselves.
Well, let's just use this game as an example of why that we need to keep doing it. As soon as Sully came in, I think the first play or two of his was running and, direct, quarterback runs. And what happened after that is when everything broke loose for Caleb. And I was glad that they didn't come in and they just went and kept the same offense and trying to ram, you know, Caleb through the line or, you know, the dinking and dunking. They came in and had a little bit out of the box thinking, all right, well, let's use his ability to try to open up the offense. So I applaud the coaching staff on being very, you know, savvy in the way they made the change and not just to make a change.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't, we intercepted and then they hit the pickoff. But, you know, we had a couple of punts there before, you know, we had the safety thrown in there. But we had, after Cade came in, we had a punt, and then finally got a touchdown near the end of the half. I mean, you know, we didn't light it up right away with Sully. I mean, we had some things that you could see were different.
No.
But we were still punting after that, you know. I mean, and frankly, that was probably a good thing because I think it pretty much, you know, told that you know, we could just – it told their defense that we better do whatever we can to – you know, because this punter's killing us. So, you know, the second half was markedly different. Now, it might have been with Cade, too, because it usually has been with Cade. But I think, you know what, if Cade is what, you know, can come in and be effective playing with a lead, in other words, if they can be in the – third, you know, the second quarter while we're up 14-0 and just say, okay, keep it under control or whatever, or make them think about something different if it opens up. But frankly, Sully didn't throw downfield that much. You know, he didn't have any big, Cade threw downfield well, but overall, no, I'm sorry. It's time. I part of me says I would not be shocked if Cade opts out if Sully's
the I don't think. I mean,
Cade
he's got nothing left. He's got nothing left to be. That would just be selfish of him. I don't think he's that type of player. I mean, he can't go and play another year someplace. And yeah, I think he's going to be. He's a captain. He's the reason why we wanted him is because of his leadership and his his ability. We thought so, but I still wouldn't be surprised if Cade's still the quarterback next week, the starter. You know, so
and frankly, if he can keep it, stake down and the losses or whatever, I don't know. I think Sullivan makes the difference, but you know, there is that chance for whatever reason that they might keep Cade as a starter. I think KF loses the team if that happens. I think Lester loses the team if that happens. I'm sorry. Now, I heard Corey Brata. I listened to it yesterday before the game in the morning. I heard Brata say he had some information that said the players want Sullivan. You know what? Anybody that's supposedly an insider and anybody on the team that would say that is probably the first person that will be in the portal. I'm sorry. You just don't do that. You don't do that. You don't say that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think Sullivan makes a difference. I'm sorry.
He just brings that element of what if, you know, what if he tries to pass? What if he tries to run? You know, he just brings just a little bit of, you know, really holding the linebackers or, you know what I mean? It's weird. Yeah. He adds a lot of, you know, dimension to what we can do. I don't know how good of a passer is. I mean, he looked decent on some of his throws. I mean, a couple of fastballs, I think he's going to rein in because that was an emotional game for him since he played for Northwestern last year. So, I mean,
and frankly, I think there's a reason he wasn't starting at Northwestern. Now, maybe it was, you know, I mean, let's put it this way. For everybody that sits there and goes on about it, you know, he didn't start at Northwestern. He came to Iowa for a reason, so to speak. You know, you can say, okay, Kirk doesn't know, but then you're going to have to, then you got to say, well, Northwestern staff didn't know either, you know. Now, there was that moment where he was, I don't know if you saw it, they showed him with Fitzgerald yesterday after the game. Did you see that?
Oh, I did not see that.
Okay, so, you know, Fitz's kid is... you know, preferred walk-on.
Yeah, he's walking on as a red shirt. Preferred red shirt. Yep. Not red shirt,
and,
but preferred walk-on.
And, you know, he was visiting yesterday, apparently, and they showed Fitz embracing Sully and embracing him on his way back to the locker room, which, you know, that could be nothing. You know, I'm sure that's, for the most part, totally innocent. Was part of the recruiting process, if nothing else, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So, and just love seeing the kid do well, and that's great and all. But it has me wondering, you know, at the same time, you know, why wasn't he starting at Northwestern? If this is what we're supposed to, there's a reason for it. You know, he might have left because he thought he should be the starter.
I think they got trapped into the whole portal thing. You know, the last couple of years, Northwestern's had a portal quarterback. And if you're going to go out and spend that money on a portal quarterback, they got to play. And I'm not saying that he was in better than the others, but I think teams get trapped into that. And if it doesn't work out, I think, you know, we're in that same thing. It's like, you got to keep playing them because you spent the money, you know? So,
yeah.
Because Linsky, who's the one who came in, was a quarterback last year, didn't look any better, you know?
No.
So,
no. And frankly, you know, I have also heard from various places that the Cade money isn't all that astronomical.
Well,
now,
it's
I don't
not
know.
From what I've heard too.
You know, but you know what? I don't. You know, that's so hard to say, and you just don't know what kind of deals are really in place. So, you know, let's get back to it. Basically, Sully makes a big difference. I mean,
yeah, he does.
There's just no way around it. He made a difference. He was certainly a difference yesterday. Now, you could make the argument that, you know, any kind of change can fire up the team or whatever. Well, guess what? Then for that, you know, for that, I'm a believer then, because,
100%.
You know, whatever it takes to fire him up, you know, and that's Kirk's job, you know, it's Kirk's, you know, in addition to Tim Lester. I mean, you know, see, that's the other question,
you know,
who really makes the decision, you know, everybody asks that, but in all honesty, I think it boils down to, you know, it's, you know, the staff talks and all that. I think that's probably correct. I think it's not just a matter of, oh, we have to, you know, blame Kirk for it, or, you know, I mean, people have asked, when does this become Lester's offense? When is he responsible? You know, when do we blame him versus,
right,
you know, which, you know, thank you, fans. for, you know, but, you know, Kirk's got to take some of that heat, obviously, but by the same token, you know, I think a lot of things happen. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, it's not all on Cade. But
no.
It's also not a matter you cannot ignore at this point that Brendan Sullivan mm-hmm. made a huge difference yesterday. And will he, you know, what happens if next week against Wisconsin with that? They're still running their 3-4, right? Are they still, or was Leonard gone? Are they
not
doing that anymore? Yeah. So, you know, in the next week and we score, you know, we run for, or we have an offense, you know, if we bring in, if we start Sully and we put up 160 yards of offense and 105 of it is Caleb Johnson and all we come out of it is, you know, 12 or 14 points, you know, what's everybody going to say then? I mean, you know,
right.
Yes, you can say blame Kirk, but, you know, the bottom line is the team's still got to, you know, it really, at that point, you're coming back to the team has got to execute. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, part of that execution is that the coaching staff has to give them the best opportunity and all that stuff. So, you know, give them the best opportunity to win. But certainly yesterday,
right.
it's undeniable that Brendan Sullivan was the catalyst yesterday. So, and thank God. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I can't, I, you know, he looked good. He, you know, I'll say this. He doesn't, you know, if you're going to look at like throwing motion and all that stuff, he's not going to make anybody forget some of the time greats, you know? So, and again,
I look at
care.
One play that makes me think that he's either got to start or play more, but was on the when there was pressure on him and he scrambled 2-3 times and then was able to get rid of the ball for an incompletion with Cade. I'm sorry, love Cade, but that would have been a sack either on the first scramble to get away or on the second. We wouldn't have gotten that's the part that he brings to it, that he's going to be able, like you talked about earlier, extend plays to either get something positive out of it or throw the ball away, which is still a positive. So it's just that little bit of, you know,
either Indy or Hawkeye Mike said that yesterday. Cade would have taken the sack on that play, you know, you know, that's huge. You know, it doesn't happen often with Cade. You can't sit there, you know, he's not a sack machine. He's not, it's not like he gets sacked but, you know, it doesn't exactly happen at the best. You know, there's really no good time for a sack. So, but, you know, he definitely has taken sacks that we couldn't afford. And I don't think with Brendan Sullivan, I think you have a better chance of that not happening more often. Mm-hmm. And like I said, so that's, a guy's got to be able to extend plays, and you know whether it's just with his legs or knowing to get rid of the ball or whatever it is, that's needed. And right now, and probably for the rest of his time at Iowa, that's not Cade. You know,
yep.
I mean, there's no way around it. It's not Cade, and you know you're just going to have to, you know, the thing. Cade fans that are all Cade are just going to have to understand that, you know, I think Cade's time at Iowa is done. As far as being the guy, just not, I'll be very disappointed if not so much that if he's starting next week, but if we lose stupidly and didn't need to. I mean, we lost because, you know, if Sully's not seen, but if Sully's not seen and it's, you know, and it's the difference, you know, I mean, really at that point, what is the point? You know, because if that's the, you know, if that was the injury, then, you know, if that was it, you know, but again, you know, and that's why maybe I say keep Cade engaged. You know, there's going to come the time where Sully's going to maybe go. You know, it happened with Petras and Padilla a few years ago against Nebraska, if you'll remember. Padilla had started, was absolutely sucking, and, you know, we came back and that was 21, wasn't it?
The pressure's off in that situation. All the pressure's off when you come back. If you're the relief pitcher, you're the relief quarterback, The pressure's not on you because you weren't the starter. You can come in, and you're not going to get blamed for anything. So I think that's a classic example of that. That's why Petras played so well when he came in. So,
yeah, he basically you're right. He played so well as, you know, not, but no, you're right. He did play well, relatively, you know what I'm saying?
So.
Yeah. But it's important. I mean, it's important to note that because, you know, it's a rallying point. You know, it could be a rallying point for Cade too. The age old, you know, you're just one play away from being the starter. Well, it doesn't even have to be a play away from being the starter. You're just always a play away from being needed for whatever reason, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's why, you know, hopefully they can keep him engaged in some way so that he's not, you know, I don't want to say a liability, but so that he's not, you know, if he's needed, he's not coming in and it's just a matter
ready
of
to go.
Yeah. He's ready to go. And it's like coming and just like, you know, this is worthless because they, you know, the team, you know, they're teeing off on him or whatever. Chances are he's going to be needed at some point just because college football being what it is. And, you know, the more that he can be ready and engage, you know, again, if he can be a leader without being the starter or without, you know, having major minutes, that's still valuable to team culture. Mm-hmm. Now, it being his last year, you know, maybe it doesn't matter. And that's the thing. That's why I say, like you say, he's not that kind of guy. That's not the kind of, and I would agree. I think that's the case. I don't think he is petty. I don't think he is, you know, he's going to take his ball and walk home. I don't think that's the issue, but it's still, you know, at this point, it would seem to me that they're reunited around it. So, you know, I hope he doesn't feel like they're united around it at his exclusion. But, you know, that's the other thing. If Kay doesn't see that this is what gives us the best chance to win, and he's just going to put blinders on it, whether he quits
he's
or not, or whether
he's
– yeah, exactly. And I don't – you know, from everything that we've ever heard, that's not the case. He – you know, remember he invited players on the trip, stuff like that. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can't – nobody goes to that extreme or to that extent who is selfish. He wanted it to work.
Right.
So I think he's going to be – you know, you saw him on the, I didn't see him with Sully, but I did see him on the sideline come over to, you know, to Weechen after his touchdown. You know, so that, you know, he's obviously still, he's still engaged at that point. He's still all in, at least to some extent. But yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%.
It was all the difference yesterday. And when people say, well, Cade might have gotten, you know, might have settled down, he might have. But the point was, if it was just simply a matter of he was hurt, that he was, his bell was rung, then, you know, he probably should have been pulled earlier. You know,
he should have been pulled. He stayed in the game.
Yeah, he stayed
after
in the
that,
game
on
after
that series,
that.
So he should have been pulled.
And maybe they didn't, you know, and again, maybe they didn't know. You know, maybe when he came off the field, it was like they looked and said, okay, you're done for the day. You know, something's up, but. I don't know, you know, frankly, I don't think we need to know. That's why I say, I always talk about, I don't want to be an insider. I don't want to be the type of insider where everybody's calling you up asking for, I don't want that. Who does, you know? I mean, the players have mm-hmm. that problem already, you know, I don't need to be another part of that. But I think, you know, so I think though, against Wisconsin, against historically how we have played against them in the Kirk era, or the second half of the Kirk era, let's say, especially since they went to that 3-4, I just don't think Cade is going to be the answer. Now, maybe he's going to be needed, but I don't think he's the answer to start things. Now, if he starts and isn't
what is wrong with
get
playing them both in situations, you know? I mean,
absolutely.
There's a lot of teams right now playing two quarterbacks that are, you know, and being successful with it and being very situational with it, you know, I don't know.
And frankly, there may be times when Kate, you know, they talk about, you know, Kate checks to this or whatever. Cade may be better at that part of the game. We don't really know, you know, because yesterday that wasn't really a, you know, there was a part where they did say Cade checked in something or checked down to something, you know. So that's, you know, that's perfectly, you know, and that's why I say I've never been against, you know, having a second quarter. The whole thing to me of if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have even, you know, you don't have one. I don't know why that. I don't know why that came. And frankly, not everybody buys into that. You know, it's sort of like, you know, we had a pooch punter for a while, remember? But in the Hayden, maybe you don't remember the Hayden, early Hayden era. You know, Tom Nichol was our place kicker, but he also became our pooch punter. And frankly, that was huge. I mean, you know, it took Roby's concentration, could concentrate on what he concentrated on, and, you know, which is more hang time and stuff like that. And, you know, it's same thing. You know, having Sully, you know, even if Cade had been effective and Sully was just our red zone quarterback, so to speak, again, that's still two quarterbacks. So what's wrong with that? You know, I mean, other teams have done it. Oklahoma do it with Blake Bell. I remember Blake Bell was brought in the red zone. He was a tight end and all that stuff. Maybe he was a backup quarterback and became a tight end. But even though when he was in and people knew it was coming, it still worked. You know, if you do it right, it can still work. And so
it's putting yourself in the best situation to win. If you're playing situational, I mean, across most sports, that's the way you win. You don't win by being the, you know, physically the best team, because you can still defeat that. But putting yourself to what's advantageous at that moment, that's the, what I think, I hope, or could be a possibility, because they both bring some intangibles that benefit the offense. So, I mean, I think it's something that should be thought about, at least. I don't know if it'll happen, because Kirk's very much old school. You know, if you have two, you have none. So done it in his career before.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, I just don't, I just would be disappointed to, let's put it this way. Sully is, at least the way he played yesterday, he has earned the chance to start. Even if they play, you know, go back to Cade, he's earned the chance to start. He's earned the chance to be on the field. I think, frankly, I can't say overall we're a quote unquote better team, because I think too many people and they don't see the other problems. You know, I mean, they always say in college football, you can't hide your quarterback and all that, but that's the problem, is that you can't hide your quarterback. But unfortunately, because of that, nobody sees your other problems. I mean, you know, Cade was not our problem against Michigan State. He was, he didn't play his best, but he was not our problem. He simply wasn't, you know. First half against 100%. Ohio State, he was not our problem. You know, it was, now second half, but I mean, Minnesota, he had a great second half against Minnesota. I mean, he, you know, so you just can't, you know, you can't chalk it all up to him. But I can't believe that we can go into every game saying that he's going to always give us the best chance to win, and that, you know, not giving the second quarterback as an option is going to hurt us. I just can't believe that in the future going forward. And I also
– Well, let's just – go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just can't see how we're going to go forward never looking at quarterbacks that are statues. I mean, yes, you might miss over the years, but not many.
No. Well, the game has changed to where it's not the statuesque quarterback that sits back there and just surveys. The athleticism of the defensive lines has dictated that you need somebody that has that mobility to it. You can look at the NFL. There's how many of them are just sit back and survey. Those people
on their course. I can't think of a single NFL quarterback right now that doesn't have decent mobility. There's probably a couple, but they're on teams that are 1-6, and I'm not reading anything about them because they're unremarkable and they're not getting it done. You know, who in the Big Ten doesn't have a mobile quarterback? I can't think of anybody in the Big Ten that doesn't have. I don't know. I haven't really watched Riola, but.
They compare him to what's his name in Kansas City?
Mahomes.
I mean, that's what
Mahomes,
his nickname was starting this. Yeah, Mahomes Jr. So
then he's got to be mobile, obviously.
Yeah. I just look at it as this is the time where Kirk just has to go, all right, Scully's got the hot hand. We're going to ride that. If he struggles, then we'll make the switch. You know, but that's the best part for the team, because that ties into keeping everybody, you know, engaged and excited, and the momentum and the positivity, you know, and the team is a very big indicator of that. I know our team is all about team, you know, camaraderie, and we're one, you know, Iowa's one football team, you know, it's not one individual, but I think he also can read the room that you have to go with the hot hand.
Yeah. Well, you know, you always hear the talk about, you know, that they've lost the team this time, or they lost, and supposedly, you know, everybody talks about Christensen had lost the team. But everyone I've ever talked to that I would consider somebody who knows what's going on, Jake Christensen didn't lose the team until he reacted the way he did to Ricky Stanzi becoming the starter. In other words, while they were still playing two and all that, Jake still had the team by all accounts from the people I've talked to. Jake still had the team. Mm-hmm. Guys still liked him. Rick Stanzi liked him. Rick Stanzi used to, you know, I've supposedly talked about, you know, great guy, more so helpful, has been such a good, you know, help, and has been more than, you know, and even afterwards, I think Rick Stanzi played the politics, and they supposedly still talked by text and stuff, and, you know, congrats and good game and all that stuff, when, because Jake was doing okay at Eastern Illinois. By and large, the rest of the team, so to speak, he lost some of them the way he reacted to Ricky Stanzi becoming the starter. And so Cade can still, you know, he can still be in the good. I mean, it's his last year, you know, he doesn't have eligibility to go somewhere else and do all that. So, I mean, he may as well make every second of it count, whether he's going to be, you know, strictly a supporting role, or whether he's, you know, come in and make, play a big role in certain situations or whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we've got four games left.
He can still be a winner. Not being the starter. He can be the positivity. He can talk to Sully about situational things. He can win the locker room by being still being the rah-rah, the same type of leadership. You don't have to always do it on the field. And I think, you know, hopefully that could be the case moving forward. But again, like you said, be ready to go in when it's needed. So,
yeah. I mean, Tyler Wiegers, for instance, the insight bowl, he had already – basically told the coaches that he was transferring, that, you know, he was going to be a grad transfer. He didn't know at that point, I think he was going to Eastern Michigan, but he had said he was going to be a grad transfer offered. I mean, they didn't beg him or whatever. He offered, I guess, right off the bat to stay through the bowl game in case, you know, Stanley was hurt. That was Stanley's first starter and all that stuff. But he flat out said he's not leaving before the bowl. He's not going to abandon the team before the bowl game. You know, that he'd be gone after that. But, you know, he stayed knowing that, you know, something could have happened. And they didn't have anybody beyond that to really, you know. I mean, that wins you friends. That wins you respect. And so hopefully that's the way Cade goes. And I have no reason to think he won't go that way. Part of me said, I said it in a couple of places, I wouldn't be surprised if he opts to the season. I think, you made a good point. He's not built that way. That's, you know. Now,
There's nothing advantageous to him.
Yeah, but people say, well, he left Michigan but by other accounts, you know, Michigan basically tried to tell him, you know, your knee's fine. You don't need any, you know, anything for your knee. We need you as the backup. You know, he got hurt in that battle with J.J. McCarthy and said, you know, I need to shut it down. And they said, no, you don't. You need to stay positive and all that stuff. And, you know, he went and got another opinion, and they said, why were you still playing? You know, why were, you know, you needed, you know, and so I think that was a part of that, you know, that you know, boy, you know, I expected to be treated a little better than that. And I think, you know, frankly, the way Kirk's handling it is different than Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh sort of said, well, J.J. McCarthy, better quarterback, and Cade will have to deal with it, so to speak, you know, and that's Jim Harbaugh all the way. He's nothing but an ass clown. He's never been anything but an ass clown. I mean, there's nobody I want to see fail more than him as in the NFL coaching ranks. But, you know, I don't think Kirk would treat it that way. I think Kirk would probably even say to the team, you know, Cade is still a member of this team, a positive member of this team.
He's still a leader of this team.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully that's what we see. I would be really bummed out if it didn't go that way. But
yeah.
I would also not be shocked. Again, I won't be shocked if – I don't know if Kate's going to start next week. I won't be shocked if he will, but part of me would be. But I would mm-hmm. not be shocked. I would not be shocked to see him somehow get in the game. Let's put, you know, that he, I won't be shocked if he plays. I won't be shocked at all. I won't be shocked if he's brought in situational things. I mean, you know, we talk about it in other positions. You know, you don't just bring in Kamari Moulton or Jazz Patterson because Caleb's not doing well. You know, you bring him in to give him a rest. You bring him in so that Caleb can talk to the coach, and then he can look and see what's happening on the field. Running backs talk to each other. A gap is this. The C gap is where it's happening. Quarterbacks are going to do the same thing, you know? And so it wouldn't shock me for them to say, okay, Kay, go take a couple of series. You know, Brendan, come here and watch, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, or vice versa. And frankly, they should have probably done that vice versa earlier this season. And I think – I'm not saying we'd be 7-1. Everybody that says we'd be 7-1, I'm not so sure we would be. I mean, Iowa State people say, it would have made a difference because of it. No, play calling has not been good.
Play
you know, that's the other elephant.
No matter what, yeah.
You know, that's the other elephant in the room. I mean, has play calling – you know, even yesterday, did play calling really like, whoa, we pulled that out of – guess what? We were still running reverses. You know, we were still running reverses that went for no gain. I mean, I'm hoping. I know this isn't going to happen. I mean, but I would love to see a game without a reverse, without a sweep. I wouldn't mind seeing a bunch of fake jet sweeps, you know, ghost motion, but I would love to see a game. It's not going to happen. I mean, I think we will – Unless we run a Statue of Liberty, then the flashback really go. But I mean, I just don't think we're ever going to get to see a game as long as Kirk is here. I mean, because you know Brian ran it, but Greg Davis ran it. It's just, gosh, I wish we could get rid of it just for a game or two. You know, just stop already. But you know, play call.
Would
and
you
that's
rather see more reverses or wide receiver screens? Because that was Chris. KOK was lots of wide receiver screens. So, I mean.
Yeah, the tunnel screens, the bubble screens, the, you know, mm-hmm. all that. But, you know, again, that gets figured out, you know, and it never mm-hmm. worked against with war, for instance, you know. I mean.
Yep.
I know. I mean, I loved them when they worked, but they do stop working, just like reverses do, mm-hmm. you know, at least in our current format, you know. Now, if we ran more RPO, you know, real RPO, then it might be a different, you know, story. But as long as we're under our current offensive sets, you know, or base scheme, God, just get, you know, don't get rid of it, but just get rid of it for every game. I mean, let's put it this way. Take it off of all the wristbands of every quarter for like two games so that they can't pull open their wristband and see that play because it's an easy play to forget, I would think. So. But anyway, no, like play calling has not been, I mean, for everybody that says this would have happened or that would have happened, no, play calling still has not been very good. Some of the decision-making has still not been very good. You know, remember the end of the Iowa State game when I said, I wish we had tried a field goal. Well, guess what, Brent? I'm sure from everything I remember seeing that Brendan Sullivan doesn't get the ball there from midfield either. I don't think so. I don't think he's got the big arm. You know,
I don't think any of our quarterbacks, if you look all the way down the staff, the roster, there's nobody that has the arm for it.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know what, I don't
Stanley
know.
Would have been the only quarterback I think could have gotten it there.
Yeah. Well, Petrus probably too. Petrus has a big arm.
True. Yeah.
I don't know. What did Petrus do yesterday, by the way? Do you know, did they?
Yeah, I do. I had an alert come up, but I did not, look and see what the stats were.
Mountain West.
They beat Wyoming 27-25.
Yeah, he had 25 of 39, 194 yards, and two TDs. They had a running back in 131 yards. Wow. Wow, they beat Wyoming. Oh, they're 2-6 now. Wyoming is 1-7. So, hey, but they won on Wyoming's turf.
Yeah.
No, you know, he had no interceptions. His QBR was 44 points. I don't know the QBR versus the passer rating and all that stuff.
That's pretty low passer. That's a low one.
Still is. It is.
Yeah.
I think they talked about – oh, it's – they talk
about – to 100, I think, is QBR.
Yeah, and the other things they figure in there are yards per attempt and per completion percentage and stuff like that. So, yeah, they didn't I did not see, though, if Utah Tech played, mainly because it's not important. I mean, I'm pretty sure DEFCON is now – continue. I mean, I've looked to see if he's injured. I've seen no of him being injured. I think they just pulled it.
They lost.
At 0-9. They lost to Eastern Kentucky. They are 0-9. He did not see the field. I mean, he does not appear anywhere. He doesn't even appear as in defensive statistics like he might have gotten a tackle on special teams. I mean, that's got to be tough for him. I mean, I'm not saying he hasn't earned it, so to speak. Still, you hate to see that to a kid who, you know, I mean, everybody can laugh at us playing him, but, you know, he also went to Wisconsin, you know, before he went to Iowa. So it's not like he, you know, we gave a scholarship to a quarterback who had no, you know, pedigree, so to speak. But yeah, I mean he's showing up nowhere on the stats, and like I said, I've looked nothing about an injury. I think they just decided they're just sitting him. But again, how did he win the job then? You know, he had to have won it somewhere. So don't know. Kind of a sad, you know. What did Joey Labus do yesterday? Do we know that?
Did they play?
I don't know. They seem to have had multiple weeks. I mean, we have a second bye coming up. I guess I shouldn't laugh at that. I guess everybody's getting two bye weeks now, right?
Yeah.
They lost to Miami of Ohio,
temple, right?
Yeah, they lost to Miami of Ohio,
and he didn't play.
Yeah, that's right. He does. I think he a hand injury.
Yeah.
And that Blaine Gabbert's little brother. Now, see, so there's got to be something to quarterback rating because Blaine Gabbert's little brother, was 10 of 12, 160 yards, 13.8 yards per attempt, one TD, no interceptions. And his QBR is 39.1. The other quarterback for Miami of Ohio was 5 of 12, 76 yards, 6.3 yards per attempt, one touchdown, and his QBR is 47.5. So something's off there. Something is way off there. So that guy, two carries for 2 yards with a long of 7. Brett Gabbert was 3 carries for minus 15. So somehow rushing yards figure into it. I think running figures into it for QBR, which so that's the difference between QBR and passer rating. So I am now going to ignore that stat as well. I already ignored QBR or passer rating. I'm now going to ignore QBR. Okay, that's good to know.
Well, let's just for fun. Let's see what were the QBRs between, because I didn't look at them. Brandon Sullivan's QBR was 74.8 yesterday.
Really?
And Cade's was 19.8.
So let's take a look at the full stats, because Kate's stats weren't active. The INT must factor in.
Yep.
Lausch is
huge. They must weigh heavy on the rushing or the, you know, that escapability. Real difference.
Yeah, or true. INTs, because Lausch's QBR was 9.9. Ryan Holinsky's was 6.7. And, you know, Lausch had 2 interceptions. Cade had 1. Holinsky had, but okay, Helinski had one carry for negative four. Yeah, one carry for minus 4 yards. Cade didn't have any rushing attempt. You know, nothing listed for rushing attempts. So, did Cade get sacked yesterday?
No,
I don't think he did.
No, we didn't give up any sacks yesterday.
Yeah, so you know, it's just man, it's just so PBR something to it. So interceptions and rushing yards figure into it way more than they need to, in my estimation. In my personal estimation, I just don't.
Well, I don't know if it's, I guess you could say the rushing yards, but it also goes into, I think it's negative plays, like negative yardage plays. So
yeah.
Like the minus, if he would have had a sack, it probably would have been in the single digits, you know, because he would have had negative rushing yards considered in that, which I still think is so stupid that they put that, take that away from the rushing yards. NFL does it from actual passing yards. Which is, you know, that's on the court. I don't know. What's not going down that avenue?
Well, it's on both the quarterback and the line. It's on both. It's on, you know, I mean, a sack is never on just, even when we talk about Cade would have taken a sack, you know, Sully, why did Sully have to do what he did? Because our receivers didn't get open or the line didn't do the job. So, you know, quarterback, I mean, it's when and that's what I'm saying. Some of the time that frustration builds up. I mean, I think Cade's thrown some interceptions simply out of frustration. Like, I've got to throw the ball. I'm not going to take another sack, or I'm not going to have another throwaway. I've got to take a shot here. You know, I think that's happened to a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, you know, so here's another thing that gets overblown. Everybody's talking about, you know, Sully threw that pass to Pascuzzi and then was leading the block, you know, and then they talk about Cade doing that on Caleb's touchdown run against Minnesota, I think it was.
Washington. Was it Washington or Minnesota?
No, it's Minnesota. On that run at the beginning of the second half, where Terrell Washington also got laid out and had a good block. You know, that's great, and you know, the quarterback's got to be willing to do that. But I mean, let's not. You know, it's sort of like when we talk about how well does this wide receiver block downfield. I don't really care. I know the coaches care. I know it's actually important. The fans, I don't care. I don't care. I really don't. I love to see it. I loved when you saw McNutt throwing a great block downfield for Sean Green. But you know what? Caleb Johnson doesn't really need Cade McNamara throwing his best blocks any more than Sean Green needed Marvin McNutt throwing the best blocks of all time downfield. You know, I mean, by that point, once you're at the second level and beyond, it's really a matter of almost luck. You know, like either he breaks the tackle or he doesn't. And, you know, the quarterback's block is rarely going to make that difference. But so let's look to this week. So we got Wisconsin, who, you know, took a loss to Penn State at home. They're coming to Iowa City. As I said, one problem.
It was announced late last night.
7:30. Yeah, I heard it was going to be 7:30. I also know that it's going to be probably a Peacock game, or is it going to be Big Ten Network? Do we know?
Hold on a second. I think I've got it someplace. I think it's going to be
It's got to be Peacock because BTN is BTN is USC Washington.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, will be an interesting game because it's the first time in a while that neither team is crossing a time zone. Either West Coast team is, you know, I mean, it's happened in the Midwest, but I mean, that we have two of our West Coast teams not crossing a time zone. That's kind of interesting.
NBC is on NBC, actually.
Okay. UCLA goes to Nebraska.
It'll be on both, but.
Yeah. Oregon is going to Michigan. Now, this is not your sign stealing Michigan that they're playing, but. I still got to believe Michigan can give them a game.
Just defensively, I mean, that's what's been keeping them in every game this year has been that defense. So,
yeah. Ohio State at Penn State. There's some good games in Big Ten next week. Ohio State at Penn State, Minnesota at Illinois. Minnesota's come on. Illinois is coming off a loss, you know, so they're kind of like thinking, Northwestern Purdue. Bad as Northwestern might have looked yesterday in the second half. Purdue is worse, much worse. Oregon, Michigan, Indiana at Michigan State. Michigan State has, you know, it could be a good game. UCLA at Nebraska, probably not. USC at Washington will be a good game. So, you know, our game is a 7:30 game on NBC/Peacock. So that part's good. But the other part of it, it's a crucial game for both Iowa and Wisconsin. I mean, you can sit there and talk about they're both out of the college football playoff, but, you know, you're still playing for bowl positioning at this point. You're still playing for pride. You're still playing for, you know, to establish stuff for recruiting, all of that stuff. So, you know, I'm not going to knock on this game. So let's talk our game. So what do we need to see? Special teams, I don't even think we need to talk about. We're going to see what we see. We just don't want mistakes. You know, we can't give up the kind of, you know, like we can't give up a return like we gave up yesterday or like we gave up against Troy. Okay, that's a given. But other than that, college football, special teams isn't really something we need to. So what are we looking at on the defensive side of the ball? What kind of problems you see Wisconsin presenting?
Well, I watched part of that game last night with them, and just think it's going to come down to who's going to play opposite of Jamarin, who's playing the other side, who's playing the other corner, because they've got some talent at wide receiver, a couple of really burners. So it's just keeping everything in front of you. I think we saw much better communication. Well, we had Castro back also. That was a huge piece. But the communication across the back four was much better this game. So I think that's, we harped on that last week, and that's been a big contention for the whole season, is the back four has been the weakness of the team. So I think just them playing a much better game. I think I'm biased maybe. I don't know why, but Deshaun Lee I still think needs to start. And I think we can be fine, because they didn't really light the world up on fire running the ball last night when they played. So I really think it comes down to just getting back to defensively the fundamentals, keeping everything in front of you, you know, solid form tackling. And we saw that this game. Yeah, it's a whole different beast with Northwestern.
Stay in their lane. Stay on assignment, you know.
Assignment football.
The offense is designed to use misdirection. And I don't mean like by running, but I mean, you know, the way you line up and then the way that, you know, where the receiver goes, the whole point of that, besides getting open, is to get guys mismatched, is to get guys out of their assignment. So that's the whole key, is staying on assignment. I mean, you know, and it might be tough against Wisconsin, no doubt. I think TJ Hall, we've heard his name less, and he is still playing. He is still getting the field. So we're hearing his name less, but he's still on the field. So that's a good sign. Nestor's out. Nestor's out yesterday, and I think he's out for next week. And again, I don't want to get on an individual guy. I mean, I've done that too much.
No, same
here. You know, I don't want to do that, but I do it too much.
Back four just needs to keep playing the way it's played.
We may need our backup linebackers to, you know, to go up too, because, you know, I don't think you can keep playing Jay Higgins and Nick Jackson the whole game. And when they haven't been, other guys have been getting on the field, but I just think, they may need to step up. When I say step, you just need there not to be a major drop off when any of those guys is in. So I guess that'd be the point there. From the line standpoint, you're always, against Wisconsin, you're always going against a big, tough, solid line. Even in their worst years, their lines are pretty usually better than normal. So, that's going to be a challenge, but again, I think we're starting to get a good rotation. Brian Allen is seeing more time. Jeremiah Pittman's seeing more time. So I think that we're building.
Was the question mark, who was going to be those backup tackles, and Pittman's played very well. Hubert came in and played a lot of good snaps yesterday also. So I think we're starting to go from, a three-man rotation of tackle to a four-man, which we can go go almost six deep at defensive end if we really need to, you know. I think the defensive line is set. And linebackers, I have no problem with Shar, Fisher. You know, I think we're good there as far as, you know, backups when it comes to that. So I think it's really me. It comes down to the back four. If they play a sound game for us and just don't make any stupid mistakes, I think we're we've got a chance.
And I don't know. I don't think – I'm pretty sure. I shouldn't say I don't know. But I don't think Braylon Locke presents the kind of mobility problem. I'm not saying he's not mobile, but he doesn't present the same kind of problem – Braylon Locke, sorry, I'm thinking of Braylon Edwards. I don't think he presents the same problem that like an Aiden Childs did, or even a Jack Lausch who can get out of the pocket and move. I don't think Locke presents that problem. So, you know, that's a positive. I mean, he's got, I think, 10 carries on the year for 3 yards. I don't know how often he's been sacked. He's been sacked 5 times. He's been for a total of 26 yards. So, you know.
Well, and it doesn't even have to come down to sacks.
It comes down to pressure.
We can put pressure on him to make bad decisions, is really, and we get a sack or two. That would be the positive from the defensive line.
Their leading receiver has 382 yards right now on the season. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Do we have anybody with 382 receiving yards on the season? I don't even know.
Yes. I think we're in the twos with, and I think it's, who is it that's leading the team? Lachey, yeah.
Yeah. He has 209 yards. You know, at a certain point, I'm not saying we need to have 1,000-yard receivers, but it would be really nice to have 400-600-yard receivers, you know?
You're asking a lot of that offense with that.
Do you know what? Do you know what our passing yard total is? I mean, you probably do, but it's 1,100 yards. Our passing yard total.
Caleb Johnson has more yards total. I mean, just rushing than we do passing.
Yeah.
On 42 less attempts.
Yeah, he's got total yardage. He's got over 1,300, and our quarterbacks have 1,110, almost. So we've got about 1,100, a little 1,150 yards, let's say, between our quarterbacks, total yardage, rushing and passing. Whereas Caleb's got 13, you know, that's, I mean, now, you know what? I bet you if you look at Boise State, I bet you there's a similar thing there. I mean, I'll bet you Ashton Giambi's got, you know. So that's not necessarily the only story. But, you know, again, we've only got games left, and we don't have any games that aren't winnable. We don't have any games against teams that are going to just completely – that have this dominating defense. Wisconsin usually has a good defense, but they don't – you know, they've obviously not been as dominating this year. I don't know how – now, Nebraska probably is a one that is going to be a better defense. Their defense has obviously come on because they have not been getting those, you know, 46-10 blowouts. But, you know, everybody's going to be looking to stop Caleb. So we just have to – I'm sorry. And again, that's maybe where Brandon Sullivan makes the difference is that, you know, maybe we still use Cade. I'm fine with that. But I think we're going to have to – if we're going to open it up, we're not opening it up with our downfield passing game. Let's put it that way. We have not been opening it up with our downfield passing game. So it's going to be – so our quarterback's going to have to open it up with his own legs. And that's, you know, works, you know. It boils down to that. So we've got a couple minutes left, and then we've got to call it morning. But what else do you want to see? So we've talked about – you know, what do we want to see offensively next week? It's not enough to say, I want Brandon Sullivan to start. What do we need to do? Like, do you think we need to use more designed quarterback run plays?
I read option in that situation.
Yeah.
I mean, he did that a couple of times, and it was really effective. I think that's one thing that needs to be used. I think that would be the most effective in that situation, because that would definitely give Caleb that much more opportunities because you just don't know who's going to have, you know, who's going to come out with the ball in that situation.
Right.
But I think we need to, I think we still, I'll say it's on blue in the face, but just a little more of the downfield. Like you said, you were not going to do that to open up the offense, but it did help a couple of times, you know, the Pascuzzi's pass and the Seth Anderson pass. I mean, I think it's just, it has to be part of the offense, but I think the read option is going to be a pivotal thing if Sullivan's going to be the guy moving forward.
And that's my other question. You know, I don't know. You know, RPO isn't the same as spread. Everybody talks about it. It's not the same.
Right.
You don't have to run the spread. My guess is that Cade's just never run that at Michigan and hence at Iowa. So they've never used it that way. I wonder, you know, if Cade sees, you know, continues to see some action, you know, you talk about if he's off the bench, he's got no pressure. But I also wonder if he'd be more willing to run. You know, I think he's not run as much as he probably is capable. You know, he's had a couple runs this season. Not many, but he's had a couple. I wonder if he's going to be more willing to run if he has to, not to take sacks or whatever the case may be, you know, instead of, you know, or just be able to run the RPO. Because if Cade can run it, I mean, if you can run design run plays and Cade can be used that way, then it really becomes a situation where you don't have to, you know, I mean, you don't want it to be where when Cade comes in, you don't have to look for this. You don't have to, then you don't want it when Sully comes in, because he can run, you don't have to, it's not a matter of, oh, we can't expect the downfield pass. We still have to look for the run. And see, with Cade, it's like, there's two options you got to stop, you know? And so you know, I'd like to see that, you know, if they're going to use it, if they're going to do situational, that they don't just have a set amount of, you know, I get that every quarterback, they have their packages, but I'd like them to be able to interchange, you know, and maybe that's maybe as not being the starter and not having the pressure, that's what Cade would get. So I wouldn't mind seeing that. I frankly wouldn't mind seeing more of Jazz Patterson and Kamari Moulton, not because I want, but
change of pace.
Yeah, change of pace. Let's get, you know, not just Reese Vandersey. Let's get Jarrett Bowie and Dayton Howard more involved. I think they're showing that they're capable. And so, overall, I'd like to see a receiver get 80 yards next week.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's a, you know, that's my one stat.
And I think it's doable. I really think it's doable.
Yeah.
Against Wisconsin. Yeah. I was looking at their numbers. I don't think they're anything of a juggernaut on defense. I mean, they're decent, but it's not, you know, Wisconsin defenses of the past.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's going to come down to balance play call and not, you know, not being predictable. And I think that's what Brendan Sullivan gives us more than anything else, is that we're not predictable with him there, or we're less predictable. You know, the running lanes opened up for Caleb. I'm sorry. They simply did, you know, down, you know, not in the first couple series with Brendan in, I got to say that, but overall,
but
they opened up.
He started running the ball and more, and definitely loosened up the line.
Yep. Exactly. And frankly, you know, you don't have to go downfield, but that 15 yard out, that seam pattern, all that is a little more opened up. If you fake to Caleb and then roll Sullivan out, suddenly it's, you know, again, they have to account for him. They can't just, you know, with
great mobility
or
it's going to suck. It's going to suck the corner down. It's going to suck the corner safety down. That's going to have to come in coverage, or the underneath linebacker is going to have to disengage from his coverage to you know, come up on him, because you don't know if he's going to run.
Yep, exactly. So that's just, it's just that extra dimension. We don't need, no team needs, I mean, some teams rely on it. Some teams just have it, you know, but you know, when Georgia and Texas and Bama and even Ohio State are at their best, it's not because they've got, you know, fireballers who are throwing, you know, downfield away. Not at all. They've got a good balance. Mm-hmm. They have quarterbacks who are mobile. They have quarterbacks you have to account for, and So that's what we need to see next week, I think. So anyway, we're hard up against the end. So
One stat before we go, just for the fans, I got one stat.
Okay.
This is the 59th consecutive game that Iowa has not thrown for 300 yards.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah, 59 consecutive.
And the last one was by Nate Stanley. And a lot of us, we talked about this at the feast. It's not the game we think. It's not the USC game in the bowl game. It's actually, it was against Illinois in 2019. Stanley was 18 of like 32 for 308. And he didn't throw a touchdown pass in that game. Yeah.
Man. I mean, that's, I didn't know. Okay, I would have assumed that it was the USC game. But no.
Same year. I thought it was too. Same year. But, yeah, he was 18 of 35 or 308, and he had an interception. We didn't run the ball worth anything in the game. I think we had 60 yards rushing. But Smith-Marset had 4 for 121. Tyrone Tracy, 6 for 56. Sean Barr was 1 for 40. Laporta was 2 for 36. Baganini, 27 yards. Wedding, 25.
How did we score in that game? I don't even remember that game. That's so sad.
Goodson had a touchdown, and I think we had a pick six in that game also. Yeah.
We did win, right, because we lost to Penn State.
Yeah,
we did.
We
Michigan.
Went 19-10. They got out to a big lead. I think they got up to 10-0, and then we scored 19 consecutive points was.
Did Charlie Jones have a offer to that game, or was he not there yet?
He was there. No, he was not there because Max Cooper was doing the
okay, so there was a year where we were down to Wisconsin.
And Keith Thinkin had four field goals.
Okay. So there was a year we were down like 10-0 to Illinois, and then Charlie Jones had his kickoff return touchdown. So that must have been 20 or 21.
Yeah, no, it was 7-7 in the first. We got 6 in the second quarter, and then we got 6 in the fourth quarter, and they only scored 3 in the fourth.
And yet we somehow got – Nate Stanley somehow got 308 yards passing. That's just – but again, you know what? I mean, we don't – in our best years, we've had a pretty healthy mix of running passing yardage. You know, it's not been it's rarely been out of whack. I mean, you know, 2004
– like it has been.
Yeah. So, 2004 was an outlier – ultimate year. I think we averaged, like 420 yards, and it was like 212 running and 208 passing, something like that. I mean, it was, it was literally, just complete balance. And, and again, we need to have that, but I mean, again, that's how the game has changed, that it no longer has to be, you don't throw for 300 yards to win in college football and win well, win consistently. You just have to be able to utilize the weapons you have, more effectively than your opponent. And so, again, we may be seeing that change might be coming at Iowa for right now. I don't think they're going to recruit guys down the road that can't throw. I don't think it means that. But I think we are going to, see more mobile quarterbacks coming down the road. So anyway, well, I will talk to you next week. I'll probably see you at the game next week. Just depending, I'm not sure what my schedule is, but I'm hoping to be at the game next week. And then we will be back next Sunday. So for Avid Mike, I am Hank Jones. This has been our college football recap. In the meantime, go Hawkeyes, and we will see you next week, folks. Thank you very much.
Go Hawkeyes.
Go Hawks.
You're
That's it, folks. Have a good rest of your Sunday. Have a good week coming up. And we will be back next week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.